Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 23. We started a new series last week. Psalm 23. Psalm 23 gives us a picture of Jesus that, for the believer, shows him for who he is to us. This same Jesus that we know as a gentle shepherd is a conquering warrior in Revelation, the one who will defeat all who are against the Lord. But in Psalm 23, we have a gentle shepherd. We have a picture, a very personal picture, a very personal description of what Jesus is to the believer. I've entitled today's sermon, "The Gentle Shepherd Provides for His Sheep." And just by way of a little bit of review, written by David, the King of Israel, also known as the Shepherd of Israel. But this Shepherd of Israel is giving praise to the true Shepherd, the one who is his Shepherd. We also see throughout this psalm the very personal note that it takes with those personal pronouns of I and me and my, and it's personal to the believer. It is applicable to the church, but it's personal to the believer. And as a person of faith in Christ, you can make this psalm yours, and it should be yours. Would you stand with me and I'll read Psalm 23. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, ESV. Many of you have probably memorized it in the King James and then the NIV. And now you're working on the ESV. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You can be seated. We come to a section today that, if you're an outdoors person, you're going to resonate with this. My son Andrew and I and David went to Colorado a couple of years ago, elk hunting. Though we didn't harvest an elk, it was still a successful trip. We came back alive. But we had this one moment in there where we were miles back. And it was a hot day, and we were a little bit tired. And as we're walking back to our camp, we stopped and we listened. And far as we knew, we weren't by any running water, but you could hear water trickling. And we searched it out and found this little bitty stream coming right out of the side of this mountain. And we sat down, and we had our lunch there, and it was just calming. That's what this psalm is meant to do for us. It's meant to make us sit down, calm down, and listen. Listen to what the Savior is saying. Listen to what the Savior is doing. The Lord, as we said last week, the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine, and you can say that. He's your shepherd. And you shall not want. You have no needs spiritually. He's got them all covered for you. But having them all covered, we still, as believers, we have this need to be led to where we can just calm down. So to your notes, the good shepherd makes sure that his sheep are cared for. He's not a lazy shepherd. He's not an absentee shepherd. He's not a forgetful shepherd. He knows all of his sheep and he calls them by their names. And his sheep hear his voice and they follow. That is the picture of salvation. The Spirit of God leads us to the Savior. The Savior calls us and we follow him. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd provides rest from sin and its consequences. That's part of the principle of Psalm 23 is he would not be a good shepherd if he left us under the consequences and penalty of our sin. But he took those consequences. He took those penalties and he bore them himself. Verses 1 and 2, first part of verse 2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." That phrase, "makes me lie down," can be a little misleading. It's not like he comes along to every sheep and says, "Lay down now." He's leading us to a place where we want to lay down. He causes us to lay down, gives us a reason to lay down and rest. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The Savior, Jesus Christ, died to save sinners. Sinners are busy doing what they want to do to find some meaning in this life. Ecclesiastes talks about the vanity of living under the sun and the emptiness of life and the futility of life. And it brings us to the conclusion of, worship God. Love Him. Enjoy the life, but don't forget, there's one God, one Savior, Jesus Christ. Honor Him. Many people are still laboring. Unfortunately, Christians are still laboring. They think that they've got to win some favor with God, got to increase their standing or better their standing with the Lord. And if you're in Christ, this psalm is saying to you, you have everything you need. You are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus Christ died to save you by trusting in Him. You have no more salvation need. Everything you have is in Christ. Lay down. Be calm. When the Good Shepherd provides green pastures, he expects that his sheep will rest there. Here's a green pasture. Just take a moment. Lay down. Rest there. Again, verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Psalm 116, verses 6 and 7 puts it this way, "The Lord preserves the simple." By the way, we are very simple. Compared to Almighty God who knows everything, even the smartest of us are very simple. "The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." There are many Christians who need to just return to the rest. Stop rushing around and trying to earn God's favor and trying to do these things that will win you some favor with God. Just return to the source of your rest and rest there. Our Savior, our Shepherd, is gentle. One commentary said this, "All God's people have been given rest from the guilt of sin and the fear of condemnation through the redeeming work of Christ." They are God's people by virtue of that. But they still need rest from hunger, from annoying parasites, and from conflict. We find these as we look to the green pastures in the Word of God. How do you rest? How do you stop worrying? Am I saved? Am I not saved? Do I have to do more? What am I? Am I doing it right? Just stop. Go back to the Scriptures. Go back to the Word. Immerse yourself in that. Take a moment each day to spend time in the Scriptures. Let the Word of God wash over you and cause you to find rest for your weary souls. Too many sheep in God's fold are rushing around like Chicken Little, thinking that the sky is going to fall. In these days in which we live, there's so much uncertainty, so much chaos, so much weird stuff going on, that Christians can get all hyped up on who is the Antichrist, when is Jesus coming back, what are the signs of the times, and I want to say to you, stop. Sit down. Get to know Jesus. Don't worry about the future. It'll take care of itself, right? That's what Jesus said. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Stop worrying about what's going to happen in the future and just think about today and rest in Jesus. The other thing that's happened in our modern church age is that too many Christians emphasize work over rest. We don't meet on the Lord's Day primarily to work, but to rest. We particularly in America, we have this mentality in the Christian church of, give me something to do. I want to do something for Jesus. Oh, the best thing you can do is rest. Rest. But he's given me these gifts and these talents. Rest. When you can rest in the Lord, when you can find your security and your meaning in life in the Lord, he'll let you serve. But he already has given most of you places to serve. If you're married, you can serve each other. If you're out and about, you can serve your neighbor. If you see someone discouraged, you can serve them. We don't need more tasks. We need to rest. The Lord has created a time for us to rest. We don't meet on the Lord's Day primarily to work, but to rest. And let me just say this. Meeting together on the Lord's Day is not optional for Christians. If we have a church in the area that's preaching the gospel, and you do because you're here, rest. Be there. I find these words really interesting in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. It's an interesting thing. A lot of people are so busy, busy, busy in their Christian life. And it's like one of the churches in Revelation where the Lord said, you've lost your first love. You don't even realize how far you've fallen. You have left your first love. Think about when you first got saved, when you first trusted Jesus, and your excitement, your enthusiasm, your love for the Lord. And over the years, you've got busy doing things and trying to serve the Lord. And now you do the things without the love. And what the what the prophet Jeremiah is saying through, and God through him, is, look, think back about those times when you first came to Christ, and remember those times, and begin to go back there, meditate on that, and meditate on the Word, and think about your love for the Lord. You may have grown in your understanding of theology, but do you love the Lord more? And some people say, I got to serve. I got to do. I got to be. I got to spend my time. I'm reminded of Titus chapter 3, verse 5, where Paul tells the young pastor Titus, he says, he, being Jesus, saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. We weren't saved by our works. We're not kept by our works. We're saved and kept by Jesus Christ. Begin to rest in him. God has led you as a Christian to green pastures, and you need to learn to rest, to lie down there, to meditate on that. The gentle shepherd has provided a day and a way to rest. A day and a way to rest. Hebrews 10:25, the writer of Hebrews says, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the day, the Lord's day, we would call it the Christian Sabbath, the day of rest, the day to worship. God has set aside one day. We meet on the Lord's day for worship, for praise, and for encouragement of one another. We can't encourage one another if we're not here. And the more you see these times unraveling, the more you ought to be involved in just sitting under the ministry of the Word of God and finding rest for your souls. Psalm 37:7 has a really good word of encouragement. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. All your trouble, all your turmoil, all your anxiety, all you're getting worked up, doesn't solve the problem, makes them worse. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. You begin to look around at the world and all the things in the world, and as a Christian, you can either begin to say, I'd like to have a job like that and have money like that, or you can say, these times are so evil, what's the hope? And you begin to fret. You're not going to change it. God's sovereign. He's in control. Begin to rest in the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Don't worry about the one who's carrying out the evil. Do right. Stand for what's right. But rest in the Lord. And then we come to this interesting portion where I think the green pastures that we lie down in, it really has to do with the ministry of the Word of God, particularly on the Lord's Day. The preaching of the Word should provide green pastures for the sheep to rest in. That's the purpose of the preaching. The purpose of the preaching is to provide green pastures, to open the Word of God. The pastor should open the Word of God and allow the people of God, the sheep of God's fold, to relax and rest and learn of him. And those who happen to come to the church service that aren't yet in Christ, it's an opportunity for them to see that we Christians have a reason to rest in the Lord. We're not all worked up about the things that are happening. We know about them. We're up to date on them. We don't stick our head in the sand either, but we're not all worried about them. We trust in the Lord. And the preaching of the word isn't about preaching social topics. It's not about preaching politics. It's not about preaching those things that the world believes in. It's about preaching Christ. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." It's a green pasture. When the Word of God is opened by someone who's skilled with the Word and able to handle the Word, it ought to provide a place where God's people can come and they can sit and they can begin to be blessed for their time of being there. The one commentary said, "Green pastures soundly rebukes all those preachers who lead their people away from green grass. The Lord has provided in His Word to brown, withered grass of human wisdom." God doesn't command pastors to build churches. God doesn't command pastors to grow churches. God commands pastors to preach the Word, to teach God's people, to edify the saints, to provide a place of green pastures where God's people can come and be fed and be encouraged. So when the shepherd leads his sheep, the good shepherd leads his sheep to a place of green meadows, I believe he's talking about the Lord's day where you can come and sit under the word and be ministered to and encouraged. It's also about your private time with the Lord, but that should not take precedence over the church service. The main purpose of church is the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So when the man of God opens the Word of God and preaches to the people of God, the Word of God ought to minister to the heart of the person, bring encouragement to their soul, edify them, help them see where they might be going astray and where they've gone off of the path, and it should bring them back onto the path, and they ought to leave encouraged by the Word. Jesus was always about encouraging people to keep their focus on God the Father and on Him as the Son. And that's the job of the pastor, to make sure that God's people are aware of God's Word, and they don't rush around and they're finding rest for their weary souls. It's the Word of God that does the change. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to the heart. Those green pastures, those meadows. We also find in the second half of the verse that the church and the Word should provide a refreshing break from the dangers and troubles of this life. There's a lot of stuff going on right now in the world. And if you just look at the world and you get lost in the signs of the times, you're just going to get led astray down a dry creek bed. And it's not going to edify your soul. It will just cause you to be more anxious. What God wants from His people is to rest. I don't know what your life in particular might look like right now, what struggles you're facing, what troubles you're facing, what issues you might be facing. But I can promise you that when you come to the Word of God and you sit under the ministry of the Word of God and you spend your time daily in the Word of God, not as a command, but because you want to, And it doesn't have to be read through the Bible in the year. It could be a verse for the day. A verse that the Spirit of God takes and applies to your heart and that you meditate on throughout the day. It's a green pasture. And it can feed and nourish your souls. We shouldn't be making Bible reading a test of Christianity. We all have those times where we're more in the Word or we're less in the Word, but we always end up going back to the Word. And we shouldn't be legalistic about this. It's not like how many times you've read your Bible this week. It's more like, what's God teaching you? What is God teaching you? What have you learned? In whatever time you spent in the Word, what have you learned? The church and the Word should provide refreshing break from the dangers and troubles of the life. Preaching should be a refreshing stream. When a pastor comes up to preach the Word, he has an awesome responsibility to provide a refreshing stream, a green meadow for the people of God. It should be a refreshing stream, not a dry riverbed or a raging torrent. And then, not in your notes, or a stagnant pond. Preaching is a responsibility that God has given to a few. And with that, the handling of the Word of God is so important that when the people of God meet together, their souls should be refreshed. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. When you come to the Word of God and you come away from the world on a Sunday and you meet together with the people of God, just meeting together is refreshing to your soul. Just meeting together and being able to talk with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage one another is refreshing to your soul. And we ought to leave God's church on a Sunday having been blessed for being here. And we ought to leave church on Sunday having blessed someone else for having been here. He makes me or causes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. There's something about those calming waters, that trickling water, besides mosquitoes and the ticks, you who are, you know, really uptight about those, put the bug spray on. Don't worry about your life. You're going to die anyway. But just put the bug spray on and go out and enjoy nature. Enjoy life. Sit down beside the water. Listen to the stream. Listen to the waves lapping up on the shore. Listen to the birds sing. Listen to the wind blow through the trees. That's the one thing I love about hunting is I hate getting up early, but I go out in the woods and I get up in the tree in the dark and you sit there and you watch creation wake up. You non-hunters, you don't get it. But you get out there and you're all by yourself. And the boogeyman hasn't gotten you as you walked into the woods. And you climb up the tree in the dark, and you get all set, and you sit there. And you listen. And you can hear the deer blowing because it picked up your scent. And you can hear the squirrels. I've sat down at the base of a tree one time and there was a stream in front of me and I could hear something lapping up water in front of me. I have no idea what it was, but it was both terrifying and cool at the same time. There's just something wonderful about being in God's creation. And the reality is that the Word of God's even cooler than that. And we read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit brings things to life. And the job of the pastor is not to find new and creative ways to preach the Word of God. The job of the pastor is to preach the Word of God and let the Spirit do the application. As he applies it to the heart, and refreshes the soul. The job of the pastor is not to overwhelm people and yell at people and berate people and run them into the ground. It's also not the job of the pastor to preach social issues. The church is not a political arm. The church is about the kingdom of God. And we preach Christ, and we preach Him crucified, buried, risen again, ascended into heaven, coming again. He is our only hope. We don't preach politics. We preach Christ. Charles Spurgeon said this: when by faith we are enabled to find rest in the promises, we are like the sheep that lie down in the pasture. We find at the same moment both rest and refreshment. It is the Lord who graciously enables us to perceive the preciousness of His truth and to feed upon it. How grateful ought we to be for the power to appropriate the promises. For those of you who might be saying, I don't know if I'm a Christian, do you trust in Christ for salvation? Well, yes. Rest there. Rest in that. God doesn't want you going through life wondering, am I a Christian? Am I not a Christian? Do I meet the qualifications for Christian? If you trust in Christ and He is your hope, rest in Him. But I sin. So do I. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. He has forgiven us all of our sins. There's therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Appropriate those promises. Make them yours. Allow the Spirit of God to impress them upon your heart. And let the Spirit of God give you the confidence that you need in Christ. David, the gentle shepherd, leads us to the gentler shepherd and reminds us that as pastors, we are under shepherds and we have a high calling to provide nourishment and refreshment for God's flock. Pastors often refer to the church they're ministering as my church. It is not. It's God's church that He's allowed us to serve in. And the job of the pastor is to encourage the people of God to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. Verse 2 again of our text, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And preaching to myself and to all who may hear this later, Acts 20:28, Paul says to the elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. You are God's people. You are so valuable that Christ died for you, shed His blood for you, called you to Himself, and He never will cast you away. The job of the pastor is to encourage God's people, not to make them doubt their salvation. Peter reminded pastors of this in 1 Peter 5:2 and 3. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. The pastor is an under-shepherd. He's part of the sheepfold of God. And as part of the sheepfold of God, he's been promoted to under shepherd, shepherding the flock of God, but he's still a sheep in God's flock. And we have a responsibility to encourage God's people, to minister the word to God's people, and to encourage you to take heart in the Lord. The Lord knows your struggles. The Lord knows your doubts. The Lord knows the pain of your heart. He knows those things that you enjoy. He knows those things that will distract you from His Word. He knows those things that will drive you to His Word. And He's a gentle shepherd who does not beat the sheep, but He loves His sheep. He loves you. He's provided rich nourishment for you from His Word. And He wants you to rest. That's why coming away on Sunday from all the cares of the world is so very, very vital. You come away from the world and you meet together as a people of God, and you can say, we're just sheep in the flock of God. And I've come today to be refreshed, to be encouraged. May the Word of God encourage you. May the Spirit of God strengthen you. And may you find Jesus Christ sweeter every day that you spend with Him. Would you stand with me and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this text. And we're reminded over and over again just how special Your Word is. But we're also reminded, Lord, how special our Savior is. That He's our gentle shepherd and He always leads us in triumphal procession. He's given us the victory because He's already won it. And thank You, Lord, that even though the Spirit of God has given us gifts, the gifts are not important, not more important than the rest. Teach us to rest. Teach us to rely upon Jesus Christ and teach us to value even more the family of God in the local church. May You, our Father, continually remind us of just how loved we are in Christ. For those who may not yet be in Christ, I pray that today would be that day when they see the gentle shepherd as their shepherd and trust in Him. We pray, Father, for Your blessing on this day as we rest in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.